Good afternoon, everybody. I think it's 20 past 3 already, and we're just waiting for Reverend Zondi. It's important to get the IFP to be present. But welcome to the meeting. Earlier on, we're just chatting informally. And maybe we should just state what we think is the process from now onwards. What we're asking parties to do today is to throw out names for consideration, so that it gives other parties an opportunity to go back to their caucuses tomorrow to look at all the names that have been nominated and then to finally agree on five names that you will come back with a mandate from your principals. And then tomorrow afternoon when we meet, the committee will assess the various nominations or the final positions of parties and then see whether we can come to agreement based on the strength of the CVs or the information that we have at our disposal. And then we try and bring it down to five names. If we can get consensus, it will be a very good thing. It will inspire great confidence in the interim board. And I'm hoping that we can find each other next tomorrow. If we don't get consensus, and then we'll go the normal route to make a decision. And of course, when the parties speak in the debate next week or so, and they will state what their position is and why they're motivated for certain people and not for other people. But I think we should be making a decision tomorrow on the five names. Also, the law allows us or asks us to actually recommend who should be the chairperson of the interim board and the deputy chairperson. And that recommendation goes to the House and then goes to the president. The president must appoint those people. So in effect, this committee is technically appointing the chairperson and the deputy chairperson also. Because our recommendation, if the House approves it, the president has to appoint those people. He's got no discretion in the matter. So it's quite a heavy responsibility. So when you're discussing your party caucuses tomorrow, keep in mind this issue of who should be the possible chairperson for this interim board and who should also serve as the interim chairperson. The deputy chairperson of the board, because we need to make that recommendation in that format. All right, so I'm going to ask throw it open and see if parties have got some names to put in the pot. Open.
Reveal yours and we'll reveal ours.
You want to reveal them? Yes. All right, Mr.
Fulwani. I don't mind sometimes to allow the senior citizens to come in first because in our culture I'm expected to respect and so on. But if I'm allowed here because in Parliament I can shoot. Thanks, Chairperson. But Chairperson, maybe before we go to the actual issues we need to deal with, the issue of names. I must first say, Chair, from our side, we are quite in a comfortable position that we can proceed with a speed in terms of analyzing this issue of names. But, Chair, we must say that indeed some of the speakers today, early in the National Assembly, yourself and the others, have just indicated, Chair, that today is a sad day in the country, which the National Assembly adopted our recommendation of dissolving the board. Now, Chair, it is a sad day, but we also believe that it's a new beginning in making sure that as we move forward ourselves today, we make sure that we move in a way that is not going to repeat any situation which we find ourselves in as a committee. Because you must remember, it's not the ANC which submit names to the president. It's the committee, portfolio committee of communication that submit names to the president, not the ANC. Now, Chair, but we must say in the adoption of the recommendation by the National Assembly, as we have already convened, we have been also instructed to deal with the issue of names, which we have already covered and so on. But Chair, we are just saying when we're dealing with the issue of names, Chair, Reverend Zondi has raised an issue yesterday, the issue of treating people with respect and dignity. Because it's not a crime to avail yourself to a board member. That does not mean that when you are a board member, then you relinquish your basic human, you know, when we grew up, some of us were taught that you must respect a person as a person. It doesn't matter whether it's a board member or but just a person as a person, you respect that particular matter as well, as a human being. I think, Chair, moving forward, that's what we must be carried so that we make sure that these men and women, the five of them, we should be able to agree amongst ourselves. They are able to be comfortable knowing that the committee or whoever will be able to treat them with the respect and the dignity which they deserve. Chair, early this year when we met as a committee, I committed the ANC. You remember I said, Chair, the modus operandi this time around will be to try and reach consensus as a committee in each and every issue which we are dealing with. We know that we're in majority, but we don't want to bulldoze any decision of the committee because of our majority. We must be able to engage. I'm sure the president of the ANC and the president of the country has re-emphasized that many times when talking to the National Assembly, saying we must be able to consider views of others and be persuaded and also persuade others so that whatever decision which we are taking, a decision which we have engaged ourselves as a committee in the interest of the country. Now, Chair, we have indicated that earlier that that's the approach, Chair, which we are going to take. The issue of the name, Chair, is not going to be anything different. We will be open, Chair, to discussion, to engagement on the names which we are going to table. We are going to consider the names which are going to be tabled by the opposition and engage on those names and finally take a decision, Chair. But, Chair, in making that commitment, we hope that the opposition also are going to act responsibly. That we are not saying that and then it make it difficult for us to move and take decisions. But we are doing that so that there is an environment of engagement and decisions are taken through consensus and so on. And Chair, my story, the Honorable Member, when we were engaging after the sitting or before we started this meeting, she was talking about the freedom of speech, that people are free to say whatever they want to say, which I agree with that. But I'm saying, Chair, we must also try to act responsibly. So that whatever engagement, what is key to me, Chair, is that as a committee, we need to start to understand each other and start to trust each other in terms of the issues which we are dealing with. We've got 5 years together. It's a long time. Mm-hmm. 5 years is a long time, and we don't want to start now on the early stage where we deal with issues with an attitude. As an ANC, we decide finally we push issues. That will be a sad day of the country if we do that, because there's still a lot of things which we must do. And we don't think that is the approach we must do. That whatever we do, Chair, we act responsible as much as there's a freedom of speech, but the issue of point scoring sometimes becomes a problem because we might be forced to respond on certain issues. And sometimes in human nature to respond otherwise. So when we respond, we might respond in a nature which reduces the conducive environment within ourselves here in a manner to be able to engage objectively in reaching issues. But having said that, we are going to reiterate that our duty here will be to make sure that there is a synergy within the committee. We become a family. We act responsibly on any matter before the committee. We take all the views in terms of decision, in terms of moving forward. I'm ready, Chair, to present the names if I'm allowed to do that. I'm not sure whether we're at that stage. But as an ANC, we do have 5 names, Chair, which we want to present before this committee so that the other parties can be able to listen to those names. As you have correctly put it, Chair, that there are caucuses which might be going on tomorrow. People can be able to go to the caucuses and then reflect back in terms of what we think should be the situation in terms of who might be the five people who can take the SABC forward. But as I was saying, it's the beginning, because it's the beginning from the workers of the SABC, it's the beginning from the IPOs, who derive their income directly from the SABC. Now, Chair, we hope...
Can I just interrupt for 1 minute? I think one of the things that members should bear in mind, that the Act also sets out some criteria for appointment. Mm-hmm. For example, the person must be a South African.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite possible that you might nominate a Zimbabwean. It's possible. Person who's got expertise in a particular field, and you think is a great professor or something, only to discover that the person will be disqualified. It can happen. So just be mindful of the criteria set out, and maybe Mr. Kolwane can also talk about what informed the NC's thinking in coming to those names. And you've got copies here.
Maybe the copies can be circulated. Some of them, sir, we don't need even to motivate. Those who have been within the industry of ICT and broadcasting, they could pick them up quick. Because what we wanted, sir, wanted just to get people who can assist in the current situation moving forward. Of course, chairs and ANC adopted the 50-50 approach. Whatever we do, Chair, we will fight for a 50-50. 50% in men and 50% women. Now, because Chair is five.
Yeah, it doesn't refer to Fafi.
Because
50-50 doesn't refer to Fafi. 50-50 is gender.
Because now, Chair, we've got, we need five names. We won't mind, Chair, if there are three women. But if you need there are three men, it's fine, because we can't slice anyone into two. But even if they are all women, we don't mind, except that we will mind if they are all men. So that's the only problem. If they are all men, we will mind. So I'm stressing that, Chair, so that as parties will be submitting any name, they must take that into consideration. We are not going to compromise that principle of the aim. So whoever will be submitting, Chair, must take that into mind. We are not going to compromise that 50-50% share of the ANC in that. I'm sure by the time we finish this process, we'll understand each other very well. Chair, the first name which you are having is Miss Irene, not the pronunciation, Chanley. Yeah, Chandi. If you look into the CV, it will go extensively. I'm sure currently is the person who's heading the SMILE. Those who are in the ICT sector, they know SMILE is an organization which is assisting in terms of the ICTs in rural areas. But Chair, for why, as they will be going through the CV, but from our side, Chair, why was Luke to be one of the possible person who can assist is the strong point or the sector that she has been dealing with corporate governance issues for quite a long time, from MTN, and then you can the list goes on there. What you are looking from her is the corporate governance side, a strong part from her that she has been around for some time. We are confident that she can be able to assist us in moving forward. Now, Chair, I'm glad because we didn't talk about a doctor, you talk about the professor. Because I was going to have a problem if you talk about the doctor, because the next candidate which we want to present is Dr. Philip Frederick Timku, who's currently with UNISA. And now, Chair, since we didn't talk about the doctor, I hope that everything is fine in the South Africa. But we'll see. If it's not a South African, we are going to not going to hesitate to remove his name. But so far, when we check, we were convinced that he's a South African. But things do happen at home affairs. Quite a number of things are happening. The third candidate is Libby Lloyd. that one does not need any motivation.
Mm-hmm.
It has been with MDDA, with the SABC, participating in some of the issues, development of the issues within the SABC, doing research for the public broadcaster for some time and so on. I think that one, Chair, will pass with ease. She has also been a CEO for MDDA. I'm sure she was not going to be appointed in that position if she was not a South African. So we assume that the documents are in order in terms of her citizenship and so on. That will be the third name, Chair. The fourth one, we've got Leslie Sedibe. Leslie Sedibe is an advocate. As the chairperson was indicating, that part of the things which we're looking for is also looked a strength within the law-related matter. You see, Chair, it is important to think this matter of law-related matter. Now, the only problem, Chair, is that sometimes you can't confirm an advocate or an attorney by look of the CV. We had some in the SAPC, the board which is going, but if you look how they've handled and floating processes in terms of dealing with the group CEO case, that's why I'm saying, you know, sometimes the attorneys and advocates, they will never stop to or amaze to stop to amaze you in terms of how they handle issues. I could not expect that people can floor, basic issues of dealing with disciplinary matters and so on, but it did happen. But our motivation around this, Chair, is that we do need a strong legal background person. And this one, Chair, is also involving the 2010 FIFA World Cup. If you look at his CV, he's also been dealing with the issue of procurement around the LOC, FIFA committee and so on. So we think that experience, Chair, is also going to assist as part of the problem which we are having in the SAPC now, also touches. I'm sure yesterday when we were dealing with the strategy and the budget, it came forward that the issue of procurement and some of the submissions are indicating a red flag there, that there are some challenges and so on. But as I've indicated, Chair, that it's participating in the LOC procurement policy, Leslie, and also review of the FIFA ticket policy and plan, and quite a number of things which is on the last page of ECB. I think people can go through. Now, Chair, it will make how many? It will make four, which is two men and two women. Now, Chair, the last one is also a legal fund, Chair. We want them to argue, Chair. Although lawyers, they don't agree with each other, but we want them to argue before they can proceed with anything. Which is legally related. They must be able to debate and agree that this is the correct one. They will also argue whether it's the orthodox approach, whether it's the liberal approach, it doesn't matter. But they must be able to convince themselves that whatever action which they are taking, you know, the other lawyers, yeah, they are laughing. When I'm talking about the issue of arguing, because we bring five of them in one room, they all don't agree in terms of which is the correct legal position and so on. Then our own advocate, Johnny Dilange, will say, you know, until it's tested by the court of law, no one can be sure about the legality of that position. So we'll assume that is how it goes. But the next one is William Mukari, also a legal person, which we also want to put forward. Unfortunately, my story is we have debated this matter, and we apologize that he's a man, the sixth one. But we hope that through the discussion, the issue of gender will be corrected and have it balanced the way which we will suit us and so on. Again, Chair, the brief summary from Kare is on the last page. I would say, Chair, in the nutshell, Chair, those are the five men and women which we are pushing forward for consideration. You know, Chair, that the Act also require us to come up with them to propose the chairperson and the deputy chairperson to the president. I'm not sure, Chair, whether you want me to deal with that now or something which you can deal with that later. As I've said, that we are ready to go. We are indeed ready to go. And God permitting, we should be finalizing now. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much.
Hold by the chair. Yes, yes. Right. Anybody else? Patricia, you ready now?
Yeah, Chairperson, I've spent so much time in this committee the past couple of days that, you know, some of the names that I'm going to put in that we still have to consult because they were saying let's wait until the decision is there to see if the board will be replaced. I mentioned names, but I'll tell them that, you know, so I don't even have the CVs, but I can organize CVs tonight still this evening. The first one that we're suggesting is Fonseil Slabbert. He's got some experience in business, but also in media, and you know, being part of the Caxton Group. So. That briefly on him. The other one is Professor Chris Lundberg, who is at the University of Johannesburg. And again, you know, CV details and things like that. I think he's well known as a commentator and so on. Then the third one that we were thinking about is Richard Gallant, who's also at University of Cape Town, also an advocate, also writing a lot of opinion pieces and so on, respected analyst. Now, this name that I'm going to mention now, I haven't even consulted, but in our own caucus, we have said we must try and get hold of her because we think she will make a valuable input, and it's Maria Ramos. She has shown with the Transnet that she's been able to turn it around, but we haven't contacted her, Chairperson. But it's one of the names you were talking about. And in terms of the field of media, a person who's also been long with the SABC, has worked with the SABC, is a journalist or retired journalist now, is Max Dupree. So those are the names for now. But as I'm saying, I need to get confirmation from them. We need to get the CVs. We've been waiting for today, basically, to see that the board is finally dissolved. So if I need some time to go and work on this afternoon for Chairperson, get CVs and stuff in for you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Coach was basically in the same position as Honourable DeMille as far as putting names down, but we have not discussed everything with the individual, clearly because we don't as yet hold the majority in this committee. So, just want to say we have a very experienced person, knowledgeable in media at Rhodes, Professor Guy Gerber. We believe the next one has extensive experience at the SABC previously, Ms. Pippa Green. She was out of the country. She's apparently back with a clear understanding of what the organization and corporation requires in terms of effective management. Then we would like to make the point that if there is no consideration for former board members to be taken on board so as to ensure continuity of from the interim board, from the previous board through to the interim board, one of our very serious concerns was the issue of risk management and the finance matters that, that urgently require investigation. And we know that the AG's office is currently investigating all of that, but we do believe that you need a person that can really cut away all and through all the nice presentations that one often finds in board meetings, to zoom into where are the critical shortcomings in terms of budgeting, in terms of controls, in terms of the audit committee functioning, etc. We do believe that such a person would be Mr. Shawkat Faki, with a clear understanding of what is required in terms of public finance management.
Shawkat
Faki.
Right.
And then we have two persons that each have their own specific field in at universities, but both of them with suitable experience of board functioning. The one is Professor Rampele, because obviously we also want to make sure that we are moving towards gender balance. And and secondly, we have we would like to propose Professor Njabulo Ndebele.
Okay.
Also to make sure that we bring in people with a clear understanding and with experience of the functioning, because let us be honest, whereas the SABC has certain peculiar needs, the corporation is not such an unusual animal that you really require very unusual skills to manage as board members. So we would like to make those proposals. And then I just wanted to come back to the continuity issue. We also discussed the issue of bringing on board. We have at least two board members who indicated that they would be willing to serve in the interim board. One was Professor Alison Gilwood, and the other one, to my recollection, was Mr. Desmond Golding. And both indicated that they would not like to be involved in the final board, but they would be willing to serve in an interim board for a period of 6 months, just to make sure that we don't have this gap. So I would also like to list their names. The request that I have is that as a result of Mr. Golding's immediate analysis of what went wrong with budgeting, he could be very worthwhile to also make sure that moving from here to a turnaround strategy, we could really make valuable input. Thank you, Chairperson. That concludes our proposal for now. Thank you.
I don't know if I'm going to be out of order here, but I did have an informal discussion with Reverend Zondi. He's not here. I don't know for some reason or the other. He's not here, but he has put forward, at least to me personally, the name of Suzanne Moss from the IFP. I think I should just throw it out. I mean, the party can eventually say whether they are formally endorsing her name or supporting her name or not. But I got it, I mean, directly from him that that's the name that they would want us to consider also. So I thought I should just leave it here because he's not present and I don't want to put him at a disadvantage. All right, there we have. I think what is important is a lot of these people are extremely busy people. And is to get a clearer indication whether they want to accept nomination or not. Mm. Certainly from our own experience, I'm not going to mention names, but many people are concerned of the possible reputational damage. A short-term participation in a highly controversial or contested area to their own reputation, the harm has to be done to their own reputation and standing. So some of the names that you might have mentioned, I've also interacted with them. I'm not going to say who specifically. And a number of them, it sort of indicates in the negative. But I'll leave that to the parties themselves to follow through and etc. People, I think, are concerned about the possible damage. But at the same time, we also are feeling that, you know, when the country needs talented and skilled people, they must also offer their services to the nation. So there's always the risks and the downside, but there's also the possibility for valuable contribution. If they can help to turn things around, and it could be a plus to their own image and reputation and those kinds of things. So it's been a difficult exercise, and I think we need to be mindful. The second thing I know a lot of people, these busy people, have said is just time, the time factor. That, you know, that you're entering an area with a lot of work that's there, and issues are not clear, and those kinds of things. And it's going to require, it's not a conventional board meeting where you meet once quarterly and then you just get a report and you process. It needs a little bit more of a hands-on approach. And I think a number of these very eminent people have said that we don't have the time. So, but I'll leave it to you to do your own consultations. I don't want you to prevent.
The other one also that some of the people are concerned is that, you know, say for instance, they get nominated by one or the other political party. There isn't, there is no political affiliation. You know, these are just prominent people in our society, and if I now put in five names from ID, it mustn't be seen as if, you know, there's some affiliation with ID, you know, respecting their political affiliation. That is another issue that was raised. The one person that I was consulting with, I thought in maybe we might need some divine intervention, is Archbishop Ndongani. You know, he is he's busy with an African monitor, but he's been involved in a lot of community organizations. You know, he's done poverty hearings, he's been all over the country, and especially bringing in that public community feel into it. But also with him, you know, we still have to finalize too. So really, I would then say, Chairperson, that this is a provisional list for months, and we will finalize it as speedily as possible tonight. We will actually have the CV before your caucus tomorrow morning. And then we will wait for also for the names from the DA.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I wanted maybe to outline to see, obviously, we've got maybe three other opposition parties that didn't submit, of which it's the DA, the IFP, and the UTM. So that you can be able to, when you consolidate these submitting these names to our caucuses, all of them maybe shouldn't be able to at least consult with you. But at least and other parties as well. So that when we move forward, when we come back to consolidate these things, they must be, you know, Eric, he put it very nice, which is they must at least reach a consensus most of the issues that we always do, because 5 years is too long. So it's very much important that we reach consensus. But other issues that maybe is important, that we should be able to in a way forward an acknowledgement from the former board members, so that it cannot be seen as if we were in a sort of a pendulum heading with them, but we're trying to, you know, solve some situations within the issue of the SAPC, but also appreciate their contribution up to transfer.
I think just on the issue of the former board members, we've had a discussion also. Our general approach would be that we are reluctant, I must say, I think I've heard about that. We are reluctant to include the former board, anyone. All of them have made a very important contribution. But you see, if you choose one or two, you're then making statements about the others. Mm-hmm. Unintended, you don't intend that. So you seem to indicate that this one is okay, but the others were not okay. There's no, we did not make a judgment per individual. We made a collective judgment. And we think that judgment then must apply uniformly across all. Of course, in the next round, if they want to make themselves eligible, I think if they're within their right, and the committee must objectively assess you know, their nomination and decide whether they want to shortlist them and interview them, etc. But I think for now, I think we are not comfortable with the position that the ANC that we choose among them. But, might not send off the kind of the right kind of signals. There's a collective blame. They must carry that responsibility collectively. And the moment you try and bring somebody on, then you might create the impression that one is acceptable and another is not. That's not the message that we want to get out. We understand the need for, you know, continuity or institutional memory. But we think that there must be a fresh beginning, a completely new beginning on this one. One of the difficulties we had previously, and I don't know, I think it came up in the hearings. You see, that the previous board, six of them were on the former board, and six were new. And some of the problems of the previous board, right, were dragged into last board. We know that. Some of the personal dynamics and those kinds of things. And you might have the best intention for bringing anybody in, but the reality is on this round, people carrying, they all carry baggage here. And I think we would be comfortable with just a clean start. Bring in people with high standing in society. And let's see if we can give them a chance of six months to try and help us work things out.
Actually, the problem with carrying the current serving board, especially the one which has also been raised, if you read the submission by the former board chairman, I'd like to give it back so that you don't ask him things which will not be applied at the next statement. Actually, in that letter, the chairperson said the resignation of the last three. Part of the things which they said, they are saying they are doing it in the interest of the public or of the country. That insinuates that those who are not resigning, they don't have the interest of the country. Now, if you carry them on, factual, and what is in the public domain currently, it will mean that we endorse. I'm just saying what Chair is raising, indeed there is a problem. Because part of the document released in the public domain is questioning some of these things and so on. But the other issue is that, which I wanted to go to, is that maybe if the members from the opposition, they can be able to fast track the process in terms of finalizing the names and check whether people are available or not. Because surely, some of the names which are here, we've tried ourselves. And some of them, they were our first priority, but we could not go through. Now, we don't know. Maybe there's divine intervention from the opposition can persuade them to be available. Because surely some of them, we did also engage them, but because of the reasons which I'm giving that they were not available. So this because the other reason that as members, they confront these people, it must be clear that it might be a part full-time job. To clear them as in the SAPC, you don't need a board which is going to meet in a week or so. You need people who will be there. You remember the minister is sending the team of experts to assist the management. You need people who are going to be there and monitor the process. It won't going to be a normal board where they will meet after 2 weeks or after a month and so on. We need people who can avail themselves at any time to be there, to dirty their hands, and not in a manner which is compromising corporate governance, but in the manner that they'll be there, watching everything like a hawk, ready to attack and feast, in that particular institution. So I'm just raising that chair so that as they consult, they must make sure that those people can be available, so that you don't have a problem of a quorum. You know, this is a small team. It will be said that after 2 weeks, then we're told that they can't meet, there's no quorum, people are busy and so on, they're not going to back to the square one of the current problem of the dysfunctionality and so on.
Just to get back to the issue of who approached the individual. I mean, we made great effort as COPE to identify people that we don't know what their political affiliation is, quite frankly. We looked at highly regarded individuals in society, and we said, who could make a contribution to this institution? But I absolutely concur with what you're saying, that we should get an indication of their availability. My concern is, though, the minute that political parties approach them to say, would you make yourself available? their tendency might be, listen, this board has been tainted, you know, with politics. We don't want to be nominated by any political party. If Parliament as an institution approaches us, that is something different. The reason why I'm saying that is it not perhaps appropriate that we should, through the committee section, determine and be upfront with them to say, your name has been submitted. They don't need to know about which party. Kindly indicate your availability to serve in this interim board. This is the duration of the board. It's for a period of 6 months. Time on your side that you should be able to make yourself available would be 5 days per month, whatever the you know, more or less. Just to give them an indication of what is the type of commitment that they're making. And then to say to us, right, let us then come together and get a feedback. This person is not available. So, I mean, in the process, we might find ourselves that we don't have enough people that would be available as the 5 candidates. But then to say, do we have a balance to comply with the Act, to say that we have the necessary skills base to take this institution forward. I really want to appeal to you. You know, maybe it's easier for the ANC with the patronage, etc., for opposition parties to approach individuals and ask them. It is really a feeling of great sensitivity because we don't want to go into a political, brush again. To say that this one was nominated, this is a DA person, or this is a COPE person. It's not true. You know, many of them, we don't even know what their political affiliation is, and I think we should have a high regard for that, and we should respect it, that they might be making themselves available for their country, to serve in this interim board. But not to be willing to be approached by COPE to say, listen, you must now go and phone this and this person and say, are you available? This is I can't tell them what the need would be for them to make themselves available. Should we not perhaps just also consider that?
I hear what you're saying. You see, I think we're going to be putting an unreasonable burden on the committee section. This is a political management exercise, this. And I don't think we want to get our administration involved in that. Can we accept the principle, and I think Patricia has put it very eloquently, that any we are looking for individuals out there, irrespective of party political affiliation, or person, to come and make a contribution to help us solve a serious problem. And that, I mean, a number of these people that you have, for example, put forward, I can tell you, I have as chair of the committee on behalf of the ANC approached them. Okay? And they said, as the ANC, and they said, look, we have difficulties. Not because of the politics, just because of time and all sorts of other things. Sure. You know, some of them got conflicts of interest. Some of them have got company policies that say that you can't sit on more than one board,
sure.
And they're already sitting on another board. So they are just very practical problems that people are having. So I think we make it as an operating principle here that we are not going to attach a party political tag or partisan tag against the name of any person that has been nominated. If you're asking us from the ANC's names, are they all, diehard ANC and all that, I can't tell. We've looked for professional skills. We've looked for skills that we think can help us solve the problem. Some might be supporters of the ANC, others might not be, I don't know. But we've tried to look around and say, can we get a bunch of people here who can help us solve the problem and not to attach a tag to them? That's how we've approached this thing. If you wanted 5 people who are party X, we could have given you 5 names. Not difficult to do that. But I think from the names that we've given you, you can see these are not well-known political actors. I mean, they are professional people,
sure.
And that's what we look for. So I think we take it in that spirit. You phone them, if they agree, fine, put the name in the basket. we consider that. And we won't say that's a coke person. No. That would be wrong. Right, I think with that understanding, can we then...
thank you, Chairperson. Chair, looking at the legislation or the Act on itself, and I know the ISP is not here, but the ISPs, they have indicated that they would like to see Ms. Sulwark being part of the considered to be part in part of the board of the ACCC. Now, I just want to check Chairperson, in terms of her political involvement in the structures of the IASP, if she is still involved in the IASP political structure, because the law states clearly that if you are holding offices, political office, so you are not eligible to hold the position in the SAPC as a board member. So I would like this committee also, maybe different political parties, to also consider that, to look into that. And there's an issue of a collective killing period again on the part of Mrs. Sobol, which was directly, you know, involved in this committee. What does the law say on that? Same chapter 6.
Are you able to help us in the legal position? No, what does the law say? Well, political people holding political office, can they serve on the board?
There is a provision in the constitution which says you can't be eliminated by the state. So that would disqualify you. I think that would fall within the definition of being eliminated by the state. Unless the wording specifically is that you are compensated. So I'm going to just look at that wording, but maybe I can prepare that for tomorrow.
I have spoken to IFP people about this matter. They have assured me that the spouse is now retired from politics. She is holding no official position in the IFP in any structure. So she's just an ordinary citizen. She might be a supporter of the IFP, but that doesn't preclude her from participating. So that legal clarity, I was able to get that maybe.
No.
But she's not a member of parliament now.
The office bearer was misunderstood to mean like our search for public office bearer.
Yes. No.
So it's not the office bearer.
So they've assured me that though she's an ordinary citizen, she's not active in any leadership position in the IFP at the moment, and nothing precludes her from participating in the board if she is eventually appointed. All right, members, thank you very much. If there's nothing else, then we will meet tomorrow at 12:30, and hopefully we can come back and find one another on this name. 12:30 tomorrow, have you got a venue? In this committee room. The one difficulty is that we've got all of them are different names. all the parties have given very different names. If there was, you know, some common it would have been easier to start saying, look, okay, we've got common ground in 1, 2, or 3. But you could very differently. But let's see. Let's see if we can start thinking creatively and getting some commonality on this issue. Thank you very much, and we'll see you tomorrow at 3:30. Now, that's 12:30.